Have you been to the Nurse Lodge since?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go down to the every year to the park.
To the sculpture park.
Yeah.
Yeah. We being your family.
Yeah, my wife and I.
You say that these people it was really detailed. They really knew what they were doing, didn't they?
They did. Well, after this, for probably 4 or 5 years at least, they came out every year and went back to that area and all of the debris, I mean, the stuff that falls out of the trees mm-hmm. and all these things, they collected all sorts of stuff to take back. And they dug plants up, too, to take back and plant on the log.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they would leave tarps out here and that lets stuff fall on the tarps and come and get the material.
And you know the spot where it was taken from.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of marking that's there, or no, it's just you know where it is? And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because they have, in the Newcomb Vivarium, they have a map of where it was, with a little, mm-hmm. Pin in it, exactly where it was. So that's why I figured it was easy to come here. It was easy to come here and mm-hmm. be able to find it. But can we go see it?
Yes.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Before we go out there, Seattle, in the early part of the 20th century, bought the Cedar River watershed to preserve it for drinking water and has very strict regulations. I mean, people can't even backpack in there, and access is completely restricted. And there are mm-hmm. stories about when the train went through that they demanded that I think it was the Milwaukee Road, they demanded that they not flush their toilets while they were passing through the Cedar River watershed.
Same as ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So compared to Seattle, can you compare their story and tell us the story of how Tacoma, because it wasn't long after that mm-hmm. that Tacoma did the same thing.
Well, ours is different because we don't own our watershed. We only own 10% of our watershed. And we own all the strategic areas. We own everything around the water. And for strategic, would be like gates and that. And ours is closed. And it's the same as Seattle's. You can't come in, can't backpack. Landowners can come in here. The difference of what we have is because we do have other landowners, we have agreements, written agreements with all the landowners. So these agreements, whether they be tribal, federal, state, or private, all has in it that they're going to do everything that's compatible for water quality.
Right. So there's still logging operations, but that's selective logging. Is there clear cutting allowed?
Yeah, there's some clear cutting, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't understand when you hear the word clear cut. It might be a bad thing. Well, it's not, because when you would like to log a piece of your property, what you'll do is you'll fill something out. It's called a forest practice application. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not, but what it is, it's a really detailed pieces of paper that shows the area that you're going to log. It shows all the water in it, shows all the things that you're going to do for wildlife and for leave trees that are in there that you have to have for birds and that. Shows the type of road that you're going to put in, the maintenance on it. Shows all of that sort of a thing. Then it gets sent in to the Department of Natural Resources, and they take a look at it. And then if it's in here, then I get a copy of it. And then the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe gets a copy of it. Then the Game Department gets a copy of it. Then the Washington Environmental Council gets a copy of it. And I would imagine, because you could get a copy of it if you like, is that there's a dozen people at least, at agencies that look at that.
And the Muckleshoots get a copy because the Green River is part of their ancestral territory, or?
Yeah, well, when it comes to managing habitat and that, they manage wildlife and fisheries. So when they get a look at that, everybody looks at it, and everybody has to agree on that. And then you get your permit. If somebody doesn't agree with that, you have to go out with the state and that and go out and mitigate that concern. So it isn't like somebody just feels like going out logging their property and doing something like that. Okay, and then when it comes as far as like road maintenance, because to tell you the truth, the roads, the conditions of the roads and that further up will contribute more sediment to the river than logging. And so there's rules for that also, for road maintenance and that. Right now, things are a little bit bumpy because things are just starting to thaw out now,
right.
And the roads are kind of potholed. as soon as we get a week or so of dry weather, they'll all be graded back to really good condition.
Mm-hmm. Water is, you know, there are many predictions that the next wars are going to be fought over water. I can imagine someone in Georgia going through whatever year of a drought thinking, I want to go someplace where I'm never going to have to worry about water again, and that would be Seattle, right? Because of the reputation of it always raining here and always being gray. It seems that the actions of the people working 100 years ago to preserve the watersheds was a really visionary act.
Unbelievable that you could think hundreds of years ahead of time on that, but you're right, it is. It gets more important every year. Just when you think that there couldn't be any more people around here, they keep building, you know. And our charge is to supply those people with water, you know, to keep that. We've built a new filtration plant that's here, and we have the capacity here for 150 million gallons a day out of this. Right now, we're probably half that, you know, but we're set up for years in the future.
I read some weather projections that because of global warming and the diminishing snowpack, that there will be water issues here in the middle of the century.
You know, first of all, over the last number of years, water consumption's gone down. We sell a lot less water than we used to.
You sell a lot less water?
Yes.
Meaning?
People have done better things. You know, we've had customers, commercial customers, that have gone and made many, many improvements on their facilities that makes them use less water by millions of gallons.
What kinds of users, for example?
Pulp and paper mill would be one that's just amazing, you know, the amount they've done for saving several million gallons a day. Just the information that we have, like for the city of Tacoma, for our conservation, and that people are aware of things, and they do a pretty good job. So we're using a lot less, but there's more and more people moving in. What was your other, there was another point I was going to make, where you're saying that we might have problems. You know, we have Howard Hanson Dam. Actually, we have a right to take water out of the river, and we also have a right for water at Howard Hanson Dam. You can get water two different ways. You can get water out of the snowpack, which pretty much everybody does right now, but you can always get water from rain too. And it is going to, I mean, if it holds true the way things are going, you're going to get more rain. So when we fill the Howard Hanson Reservoir, it's a Corps of Engineers, it's a federal dam, that drinking water that we have behind there can get there by rain also. Mm-hmm.